Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents Recorded Live in Chicagoland, USA.
I'm going hungry.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Okay, hi everybody, I'm Carrie.
Hi, and I'm Luke.
And this is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Again.
Show number...
15.
Yay, we do show numbers now.
Yes.
That's a lot of shows.
That's in fact half of 30.
It's one-tenth of 150.
Well, goddamn.
Hey, are you doing what I think you're doing?
I'm going to call Ken.
Every once in a while, every now and again, ring, hello, let's call Ken. Ken. Ding!
I really need to add him to my speed dial.
Okay. Every once in a while, every now and again, ring,
you know what?
Hello.
I'm just going to do that now.
Let's call Ken. Ding! Oh, okay. So... Every once in a while, every now and again, ring, hello, let's call Ken. Ding!
Okay, now
okay.
We're calling him.
Okay, this is entertainment value at its highest peak form. Luke does the I beg to differ look.
Trying to figure out how close to put the phone to the mic.
Well, you'll figure it out when and if he answers.
Doing all right. You're on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Hey, how Luke and Carrie? How you doing today?
We're doing good. What you up to? Sounds noisy.
Right now, I'm in the first inning at Jackson Middle School in Villa Park.
Oh, okay. Sorry, yeah. I didn't text
my
first.
My brother's right now playing shortstop. It's okay. I got time.
Okay. So, I don't think we came up with anything specific to ask you. But how's the game going then?
Well, like I said, Erin, she hit the first pitch right to the first baseman, grounded out. The team scored one run. And there's two outs in the bottom of the first.
So Erin's doing.
She's hitting the ball. She's doing a whole lot better than last year when she barely. Last year she hit the ball twice in the play. This year is like the sixth or seventh time already.
Yeah. All right. Well, good job, Erin. Maybe I'll get out to a game this year.
Yeah. Okay, that would be nice. Well, like I said, I'll get to see you when you come back from your trip.
Yeah. Alrighty then. Well, anything you want to add, Mr. Luke Ski?
No.
Okay. Are you making fun of me saying too much?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, well, fortunately, if you come here, you could call me coaching first base because two of her coaches aren't here, so I'm actually up and running the show today.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just found out when I got here, so I got... the first thing you just said is so I have to get back down in the field.
Alrighty, well, I'll talk to you later, Ken.
Okay, take care, guys.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
That was Mr. Ken Madman Sherlock at his daughter's softball game.
And now I have his number on my speed dial, so next time we do this, it'll go much faster. So, on that note, it's time for our first song.
All right, hit it.
Much free time. kill me now. I'm forever living my soul falling down. What do you mean I'm falling down?
You lost your foot.
Oh, that's right, I gave it to her.
One last shoe.
I'm forever looking for the other one. Forever looking for the other one.
And that was Married Life by Insane Ian, which you can download right now at the Fump Sideshow.
Hit.
That didn't even fully count.
I don't care. It's a burp. Well, anyways, we really like Ian's new song. It's really well done. It has awesome jokes, unexpected, and the singing is, you know, as close to, you know, pitch perfect as he's ever gotten without auto-tune, and it's just a funny, awesome, great song. So, there's your feedback, Ian, that you've been wanting for weeks. I love your new song.
I, too, enjoy Insane Ian's new song, Married Life, and heartily recommend people download it at the Fump Sideshow, because it has things in it that made me laugh out loud when I heard him perform it live for the
yes,
first time.
Me too.
At PenguinCon.
And you should leave nice comments.
Yes.
On his song. Okay, so what's next? Let's see. I'm closer to the outline.
We did this video podcast.
Oh yeah, we did this thing with, can we say it now?
Yes.
Puppets.
For those of you who remember the Cooking by the Book video featuring four puppets of four of your favorite funny music people, we decided to, as a response to the challenge laid down by Blasted Bill and Moonbeam on their video podcast, to do an episode that could top theirs, we decided to create another seven puppets. Actually, myself and Sarah created the main ones, and then Carrie here made the Moonbeam sock puppet you see at the end. I made the Blasted Bill bag puppet at the
yes.
end. But yeah, we had a cast of 13 puppets. For a just under 10-minute video version of Bad Rapport that encapsulated the whole show down
yes.
to 10 minutes complete with four songs.
And if you haven't watched it yet, what are you doing listening to this?
Yeah, you really should have watched it by now. So
so we're just going to talk about it.
Yeah. So
it's much more entertaining than this.
Yes. So should we read the comments first, or do you want to talk about it first?
Let's talk about it first, and okay. we'll read the comments after we talk about it.
All right.
So, I'll let you start talking about it because you did a lot more work than I did.
Well, first of all, I did a lot more work than Carrie did.
I think that's been covered.
Yeah.
I think Sarah did a lot more work than I did, too.
Yeah. See, I don't know how to sew using a sewing machine. I barely know how to sew at all with a needle, and in fact, that's just kind of the basic, you know. But through the same puppet pattern we got from projectpuppet.com, I created we had the original four puppets from the other video of Devo Spice, Shoebox from Worm Quartet, Chris Mazzaletz from Power Salad, and Windguard from the Nick Adams. So we created one for myself, one for Dr. Ted Nelson.
That's two.
And Coburn, both of the Nick Adams.
Three.
We had a puppet done in pink of Carrie, of course.
Four.
We had ones of Paul and Storm.
Five and six.
And we had one of Ken Sherlock.
Seven.
Then we had the Moonbeam puppet.
Eight.
And the Blasted Bill puppet.
Nine new puppets.
Nine new puppets.
Mwah.
So basically, we chose very short songs so that we could fit all four, or song, well, you know, one of those was not technically a song, it was a track, but still. The Cirque du Soir, Guess the Context, number three. Then we had Paul and Storm's song, Very Two Best Friends. It was hard for me to figure out which Paul and Storm song to pick. I almost wanted to go with Raisin.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just decided that the Very Two Best Friends was a better song to go with.
Yeah, that's a pretty funny song.
And then the third thing was Worm Quartet's Sorry We're No Longer Buying Lizard Shit. featuring Ken Sherlock as the person who shows up with lizard shit wanting to get, you know, money for it. And then finally, to be the big shebang finale to the video, we did a music video for Kathy by the Nick Adams, complete with musical instruments and drum set.
Yes.
And images from the original film Why Doesn't Kathy Eat Breakfast?
Right.
So
which was done brilliantly with green screen technology.
Yes. If by green screen you mean me pointing the camera at a TV showing the film on my Zen player while the WindGuard puppet is in front of it.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Yes. and then, of course, the segments in between were, improvised. Well, except for News of the Stupid. We had...
Which was scripted, as it always is.
Yeah, yeah.
And the banter was non-scripted, as it always is. Yeah. So, you know.
There was only one part that we filmed that we had to... do two takes of. I think it was the last banter segment before.
And that was because the first time we did it, it went literally twice as long as what we had time for.
Yeah.
In our, you know, usual manner of doing things.
So we had to do a second take on that and just shorten it to, you know, like a minute and a half version as opposed to a 3-minute version. So, but all in all, it went well. And the reaction it got at PenguinCon was huge. It was huge and epic and awesome.
Yes.
And the very end, the last shot after the credits shows the Blastabilla Moonbeam puppets as if they are standing there watching it in, you know, complete bewilderment.
That moment is the comedic climax of the... Yeah. video.
And that was like one of my ideas from the beginning, is I wanted a bag puppet of Bill and a sock puppet of Moonbeam, because Moonbeam's a huge fan of Sipple and Ollie, so she'd have to have a sock puppet.
But I also like it. It's like it's a dissension from, you know, like, okay, the puppets you make, they're way up here, okay, sock puppets down here, and then bag puppets way the fuck down there.
Actually, the Bill bag puppet is probably of a higher quality than I should have made it for the purpose of the joke.
But it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, but and the gag is that, you know, I have Moonbeam says, "Oh snap, we just got served, Blasted Bill," and then the Blasted Bill
beer.
and then the Blasted Bill bag puppet doesn't say anything. He just opens his mouth and vomits a green viscous substance, which is actually apple and cinnamon oatmeal with green food coloring.
And it's three people making that puppet a reality. It was Kiki and Sarah. Let's see, was Sarah operating the puppet or no? Kiki was operating the puppet. Sarah was operating the vomit, and I was doing the voice.
Yeah. And there are potential outtakes that I could put up on YouTube at some point, just not right now because I have too many other things to do. But I should note the Paul and Storm Very Best Friend segment, that was the first take, and it wasn't even like we had intended to make it a take. We were just kind of setting up the shot, the camera was rolling, the song started, so I started doing it, and it's like we both happened to be in shot at the right height.
Luke and Kiki doing that.
You know, I was doing Storm playing the guitar,
mm-hmm.
And you know, we went through the whole thing. We ended. We did the bow.
Did it on perfect unison, having not discussed it ahead of time.
You know, no rehearsal. We just did it.
And
did
then
the
they
bow.
Busted out laughing.
And then we just freaking lost it for like 30 or 45 seconds, just because of the perfectness of it all. And then we did other shots. I wanted to do it starting with a close up of the guitar, and then panning out to seeing Paul and Storm. And my sister was on the video camera, and she just didn't have the gentle touch it took to achieve that shot without panning out too far and seeing, farther than the set was supposed to be seen.
Yeah.
And so I had to with the first take, but oh well. The thing that bums me out about that, is that in the later takes, my puppeting of Storm and his guitar playing was really, really good. It was it really looked like, you know, like was and even when like he like does the thing where like he puts his hand on the guitar to like stop the you know, to mute it just for a second before they go into the first line.
Yeah.
It's like
the more than words effect.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to think of what else.
It really hurt my hand to do the puppet, the particular setup we have involved holding the puppet high above our heads. And I know there's a couple commenters that were bitching about my lack of puppeteering skills, but damn it, that was hard. It really hurt. I was, like, really sore the next day. That was on a Sunday, so then, like, the next day I was still sore at work. So I think we've mentioned enough about the video itself. Let's get to the comments on the video episode of Bad Rapport.
Somebody at YouTube named Trip T Cat said, "Not bad, but long." Apparently, Trip T Cat has never heard one of our regular length episodes.
Apparently not.
Crazy St. Louis Fangirl said, "LOL, even as a puppet, Carrie looks down at her clothes to see what shade of pink she is wearing."
I'm glad somebody noticed that.
Yes. And GLHS178 says, "Funny, but I demand more Ken and cowbell."
Yeah, people, that was one of the highlights as far as the audience reaction at PenguinCon was the Ken puppet. They were all about the Ken puppet.
So going on to the comments left at badreport.com, and I'm happy to say that I was able to make that work. Let me go back. I want to see what the numbers are on there, because, yeah.
It worked perfectly on my iPod.
Yeah, I was able to download it.
Sorry.
I was able to download it into my Podcatcher, but it wouldn't download directly onto my Zen Player, so I don't know why it was being a bitch like that for me.
But for me, it came on iTunes, no effort, you know, no extra thing needed, and then it came directly on my iPod.
Come to think of it, my Zen Player is, like, whenever, you know, there's been a Dr. Floyd video episode, like, it's always, you know, it's never let me watch those either, so it must be just some kind of defect in the programming, because I don't have an Apple product. Anyway, but 162 downloads of this since we posted it.
And there was over 200 views on YouTube.
Yeah, let me go back to that and see. It was 321, actually.
Ooh, wow.
So besides the people at PenguinCon, about almost 500 people have watched this altogether. So,
rock stars.
Yay.
So Max DeGroot says, "This was one of my favorite parts of this past weekend. I would love to know who made the puppets. Why?"
Well, as it said in the credits, and as we said a few minutes ago, I made the puppets along with Sarah Trice, who did all the sewing of material and stuffing of the foam into the arms, which was a huge pain in the ass. So much appreciation goes out to Sarah. And I should also like to point out, the puppet that the most effort went into creating was the Carrie puppet, because I wanted it to be... I wanted to have that Miss Piggy level of, you know, grace and femininity and power and command presence.
And even after you went through all the trouble you went and money to make it, then me and your sister and your mom went through the trouble of giving it a haircut.
Well, you know,
I think it looked
fine.
More like me, because before that the hair was too long.
And speaking of the hair, that was the single most expensive accessory that went on any of those puppets was Carrie's hair, because I found, just a generic plastic doll. Because, like, if you're trying to find doll hair at a craft store, it's all curly.
Yeah.
And none of it is the color of red that Carrie's hair has. Like, if you look at the hair on the shoebox puppet, that's a typical doll wig. It's, you know, dark brown and super, super curly. No dolls have straight hair.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, dark brown curly or light blonde curly, and that's what you can get.
So I saw this doll that had hair that was the correct color, you know, and had, like, the bangs in front and stuff, and I'm like, how much does this doll cost? $17. I'm like, I'm not going to spend that much money on it. And then I kept looking around the craft store, and I kept thinking about it, and I'm like, well, the hell with it.
Yeah.
Don't worry,
I reimbursed them.
Yeah, I have Sarah has pictures of me with the big box cutter knife, you know, going at this doll's head, you know, to sever it, to basically scalp this doll.
Yeah.
And you know, the remains of the doll are in the basement, and I think it came out really good. So I'm really happy with the Carrie puppet.
And now you have doll remains.
Yes. And I can make a creepy doll and take it to a Jonathan Colton concert.
Yes.
So Arkel says, why is it no matter how old I get and how bitter and cynical I become, I still love sock puppets? I'm 28 for crying out loud. Well, I'm 36, so...
I was going to say, you don't get to call yourself old in, in our company. I'm 32 for the record. Metamia says, I must say I thoroughly enjoyed this, first not really seeing it via Dr. Don's Ustream and then on the website. As a formerly professional puppeteer, I must say that Luke is a pretty good puppeteer, while most of Carrie and Ken can work on their puppeting style. But it adds to the homemade charm of it all, smiley face. I won't deduct points for flipped tops and bad lip sync. I want a Metamia puppet show now. That would be cool. I could definitely use that in a show. And I will not come to the defense of my puppeting skills. It was what it was.
I remember saying to you when I was, you know, pitching this whole, I'm like, well, you know, every so often at home, just like sit there with your hand and practice having your hand mouth
open. Had I done that, I would have been doing it wrong anyways, because I was going like this.
Well, no, that's
instead of going like this.
I was explaining it to you before, like, you need to work on this so that it feels natural to have your hand, you know, the tips of your fingers
and your thumb. I can move my hand, but I was doing it wrong, and
which is why I told you to practice.
But I didn't. I would have been practicing it wrong, is what I'm trying to tell you. So practicing it wouldn't have made it any better. Probably would have made it worse.
Ken says, "Great video. Thank you for having me in it." Okay.
I get the long comments this time. Doug Hanna says, "Hey guys, really like the video. Just a tip for you. I'm a puppeteer, and one thing that makes my skin crawl is improper lip sync. When a person talks, they don't move their whole head, only their jaw. You can deliver a more realistic performance with your puppets if you only move your thumb and not the other four fingers. Therefore, only moving the puppet's jaw. It takes practice, but it makes everything look a lot nicer. Just a tip." I also have a quick question. I was looking around Luke's website, I guess all the plugging worked, and I saw how advanced your store was. Is it a custom engine or what? Thanks. I've just been looking for a new store engine or software for my site. Can't wait for the next show.
Sarah put that together using a WordPress engine of some kind, and in fact, I know she says the version that's currently at my website, she wants to upgrade that as well to a newer version. So if you have questions about that, contact Sarah via her website, saratrice.com, saratrice.com. So, okay. Well, this is kind of a repeat of the same comment from Crazy St. Louis Fangirl. It's a great episode. Looking at the shirt, and it's well done and very cute. Ms. Portland, Oregon says... Mrs. Portland, Oregon says, "Didn't watch it, but can I make a request? Come to Portland. I'm a hardcore fan, and it's a hub of anime fans. KemoriaCon is held here annually. Try to come. It's not great, but it's fun, and I would love to see you here."
No, it says, "I would love to see you here."
Yes. "I would drag all my friends along and try to come." So, let me understand this correctly. You are a hardcore fan, and yet you didn't feel like it was any, you know, interest of yours to watch the 10-minute puppet video.
If she doesn't have the 10 minutes to watch that, she probably doesn't have the 2 hours to listen to this, yes. So I wouldn't worry about addressing it.
In the rare chance you might actually hear this, getting me to come to your cons is relatively simple. Get the con to cover my expenses to fly out, you know, so that I don't have to pay for travel or hotel or any of that, you know, stuff, and let them have me do performances for people so I can sell my CDs to them. And, yeah, the main thing is getting the con to cover my expenses and taking care of all
that. It's a monetary thing.
Yeah.
So what's the next comment?
That was it for the comments on the video episode. Okay. So I wanted to mention, as a segue and a tie-in, that this past Sunday is the 20th anniversary of the passing of Jim Henson.
I really couldn't believe it had been that long.
Yeah, and...
for some reason it felt like... I must have been confusing his death with someone else's, because I kept thinking it was a lot more recent.
He died about the same time as Gilda Radner and Sammy Davis Jr. And I remember being in high school, being in my school's library. I think that's where I found out, was I was in my high school library... in a study hall or something like that when I found out the news, and I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I was just flabbergasted. And, you know, as much as, like, you know, obviously, you know, comedy music has been, like, a huge passion for me in my life. It's been my main comedic focus, you know, for the past 14 to 17 years, depending on when you pinpoint me starting. You know, so it's easy to say, like, oh, well, Luke's biggest influence in his life is obviously Weird Al Yankovic and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, obviously, certainly Al is, considering all the parodies I've done over the years. But, you know, I've been thinking about it a lot in the past year or two, and I came to realize that Jim Henson really is the biggest single influence on my life. And I was talking with Sarah about this the other day, and it made me realize I need to talk about it on the show, because it's something about me. Like, in the 80s, and here's a question. I don't know, for all you youngins out there, those of you who are in your 20s, who were raised in the 90s, I want to know this. I want to know if this thing happened when you were in grade school in the 90s, because it certainly happened to me when I was in grade school in the 80s. It was kind of during that Tipper Gore era of censorship and parents' watchdog organizations. Every year, there would be all this paraphernalia that would come around that they would give to kids that we have to take them to our parents. It would be like, you know, it's TV turnoff week.
Yeah.
We're encouraging parents to, you know, turn the TV off for 7 whole days.
I think they do
blah,
that.
Blah, 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 you know.
I think they still do that.
I mean, I've seen no evidence of it, but I haven't looked for it. So that's why I'm asking, you know, was that still around in the 90s? Is that still around today? And it always infuriated me so fucking much as a kid, because I just kind of felt like, you know, I'm not stupid. I'm getting good grades. I'm active. I mean, I'm not as physically active now, but you know, back then I was riding bikes. I was hanging out with my friends. I was going out. I mean, I would, you know, and I watched cartoons and I watched certain TV shows, and I just thought, why am I being punished? Why is my TV getting taken away from me?
And so your mom complied with the request, apparently?
She basically was going along with it. And it's a weird irony, because she's the one that, you know, it's like when I was really young, you know, I started watching Sesame Street. You know, I got into the Muppet Show. My mom saw in me that there was something about these things that was really grabbing my interest and making me, it's like, you know, I watched this stuff on TV, and it's like, wow.
It was a lot more than a passive interest.
Yeah. It's like, I want to be doing that. I want to create things, even if it wasn't specifically puppetry. Watching shows like that made me want to do stuff. You know, I managed to sneak into 4-H a year earlier than I was supposed to, you know, just because I weaseled them into, it's like the cutoff date was like January, but my birthday's January 14th, so we managed to talk them into letting me in early. And the best part was, 10 years later, when I should have been, you know, technically kicked out, nobody remembered any of that stuff except me, so I got to be in 4-H for 11 years, so it was pretty cool. But, like, yeah, I mean, I was always creating artwork, creating puppet shows, creating animated films, creating, just always creating, you know, and it was usually comedic, it was usually, you know, me trying to be entertaining in some way, you know, singing. I mean, I took tap dance lessons.
Yeah.
There is 8mm film footage of me tap dancing in recitals, dressed up in red, white, and blue, with like a little vest
this
and a bow tie.
Needs to be a YouTube
doing
video
a doing
as soon
a dance
as
to the song to like the disco version of Yankee Doodle Dandy.
This needs to be on YouTube as soon as humanly possible.
There's lots of things need to be on YouTube.
Well, that thing needs
to
be on
YouTube. I'm going hungry. Anyway, so here's the thing. So my point is this. When I got to college, I can't remember what class it was, if it was some kind of philosophy class or I don't know. It was my very last semester there, and we had to do a paper about something having to do with social and society, and I wanted my paper to be about, like, the thing I'm trying to prove. My thesis is, watching television increases creativity in children.
Yes.
And I'm like, all right, I'm going for this. I went to the, you know, Kansas City, went to the libraries, went to the Kansas City, you know, to the other campuses, you know, UMKC's library, looking for books. I am apparently the first and only person in the history of the world to think that watching TV increases creativity in children. But that's because of my upbringing.
Upcreaming?
That's another Freudian episode. The Bill Bag Puppet. Anyway,
You know, but like all these books are written by these same women from the 80s who started all that turn off your TV, you know, TV, the plug-in drug, you know, and all this like fear-mongering bullshit about television.
It sort of depends on what you're watching, you know? But I mean, if you're watching something really cool like the fucking Muppet Show, then how can it not, you know, fire up your imagination, you know?
So it's like, you know, I'm just like, you know, it created a passion. It fueled me to always be doing stuff. Like, you know, I was telling someone in an email the other day about how, like, yeah, when I was in junior high school, I created a comic strip called I Was a Teenage Comedian. And that was the main comedic focus of my life from 1987 through about 1996.
Yeah.
So, and that was the reason I went to that art college, because I wanted to become an animator, because I wanted to take that and turn it into an animated series.
Yeah.
Didn't happen, but that's what my main focus was from 87 to 96. In 1992, I met, you know, Raymond P. Whalen, Rock and Roll Ray, and me and my best friend Jason Stahl, and Bill Anstead, and Trisha Mansky, and my brothers, and we all got together and we filmed these improv videos called Ray TV, and that was a huge focus of my life from like 92 to 97, you know. And then it was it was 1995. You know, and I'd been living in Kansas City, you know, since 1992, going to college.
Mm-hmm.
1995, somebody finally clues me in, like, oh, the Dr. Nemento show's on the air on the weekends, because I didn't have the internet back then. There was no way I could have known this information without somebody just telling me, oh, on 99.7 KY, the Dr. Nemento show's on every Sunday night. And I'm like, what? You know, and, you know, I could have been listening to Dr. Nemento every week for the past 3 years, and none of you fuckers, none of you at Comedy Sports who knew I was into this kind of shit, none of you told me.
Yeah.
You know, kind of blaming the world for shit that wasn't their responsibility. But still,
yeah.
You know, so I became like an immediate religious listener, and within just over a year, I just spent a year like making demo tapes and sending them to Dr. Nemento. He wrote me letters back saying like, oh, I like your ideas and your, but you need to get to a professional studio. Fall 96, got to professional studio, recorded my first professionally recorded album.
Yeah.
Sent it to Dr. D, and he played stuff, and that was the beginning.
I mean, I'm, you know, not that this is about me, but since I'm here too, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel you. I mean, I'm not as productive or committed or hardworking as you, but I mean, when I hear a thing, it makes me want to create a similar yet different thing. Or when I see a thing, I want to create it. I mean, I've dabbled in, like, almost every different kind of creative medium because, you know, if I see it, I want to do that too. So it's not really fair to say people shouldn't watch TV, you know.
Yeah. But, like, so, I mean, hell, Rock and Roll Ray and I used to have conversations where he's very similar to me in this notion that he gets all these ideas for creative projects, and it makes him angry. Like, it would frustrate him. He feels like it's a curse. Why do I have all these ideas, and I don't have the means to make them all a reality? Because he dreams big, he thinks big, he wants to make movies, he wants to,
do cool movies. Things.
Yeah, I mean, he made Mondo Colecto, he and his friends, it took them 10 years, but they made Go to Hell. That was the appeal of the Ray TV stuff to him back then, is because, like, oh, we just turn our video camera, record it, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then we watch it, and, you know.
And it doesn't take all kinds of prep time and work.
Yeah, it's like, one of our kind of slogans was, no taste, no talent, no budget, you know,
yeah.
So. So, yeah, so it's just, but, you know, just that drive, you know, and I know Ray looks up to Henson, too, and it's just like, you know. It's you know, it's in me, and I wanted to read something from this Jim Henson book I have, and it may not.
Luke is getting a book.
Why do you have to narrate everything I
so
do?
So that there's audio.
When people listen, they're gonna hear, you know, the sound of this chair creaking.
Away from a mic.
He get up, go over to the mic, and come back and sit down. And what do you think they're gonna be sitting there going like,
look,
"Good God, what happened in that
okay?
moment? I couldn't
okay?
possibly figure it out in the theater of my mind. What's
is it okay
going
if
on?
I say anything ever, or is it the Luke and sometimes Carrie podcast?"
Here it is. Okay, this may or may not have anything directly to do with what I was saying, but it's something that I've always very much identified with the character Gonzo on The Muppet Show. I'm probably in reality much more like Fozzie, but Gonzo is kind of like, you know, a role model to me. And I found this interesting passage about Gonzo. If those of you who are old enough or have the DVDs and have seen the first season of The Muppet Show, Gonzo was kind of different during the first season. They had his eyes, like, kind of these, like, sad eyes, like his eyelids were, like, half closed, and he just, you know, always was really low energy. And he was still kind of weird, but, like, he was just, you know, more of a sad character than what you think of him now. So this was kind of, like, about how, like, when that switched. Let's see. Towards the end of that first season, though, during the taping of a backstage scene, Jim said, "We need more energy from Gonzo." Dave, that's Dave Goles, the puppeteer of Gonzo. Dave responded by having Gonzo overreact to the situation. He got a big laugh, and Dave began to have a sense of the character's full potential. "Between seasons," Dave explains, "I built a new Gonzo with an eye mechanism that enabled him to look excited. That helped me develop the upside of Gonzo's character, and Jerry Jewell and the other writers picked up on it. There was a moment during the second season when I had Gonzo ad-lib a line that was, I think, important for my understanding of his character. He had been auditioning chickens for the show, dancing chickens, and they were all terrible. At the end of the scene, I had him turn to the camera and say, 'Nice legs, though.' Something gelled right there. It told me something about him. The fact that Gonzo had a healthy libido, even if it was directed primarily at poultry, helped make his character more intriguing. Beyond that, however, he possessed an immaculately perverse imagination, proving himself capable of devising epic stunts that would only result in the infliction of pain upon their perpetrator. In fact, Gonzo displayed many of the symptoms of a masochist, but it remained far from certain that he was one. He was a perfectionist, and perfection, as he would be the first to point out, sometimes involves overlooking personal comfort in favor of a greater goal." So I just found that interesting, because, you know, Gonzo was just freaking awesome. It's like... Carrie? People don't know what I'm doing right now. You need to let them know.
Am I allowed to speak?
Oh.
I'm sorry.
See, this is why it's like the thing... Well, let me get back to my point, and then I'll say that thing. Gonzo is, like, cool because it's just, like, he's, like, you know... you know, like, all of his comments about, like, you know... Like, the beginning of Great Muppet Caper where they're up in the hot air balloon. He's like, "I'd like to try this without the balloon." It's like, "Oh, you mean plummeting? Yeah!" You know, just that whole attitude of, like, "What if we did this?" "Well, you'd explode." "Yeah, isn't that awesome?" You know, I just love that, you know... That spirit and that, like, you know, "Waha, whoopee!" kind of attitude.
You're
kind of
like that.
Yes. So my top five, well, I guess it's probably six now. My original top five favorite Muppets of all time were Gonzo, Fozzie Bear, Cookie Monster, Boober Fraggle, and a very rare Muppet named Digit, which is from the Jim Henson Hour, as we discussed on a previous episode. Probably my new, if I was to add a sixth to it, Pepe. Would have to be Pepe. Pepe the King Bruno, okay? I just really dig his character and attitude. So, yeah. So, basically, I just wanted to talk about Jim because, you know, it's the anniversary. It seemed appropriate. Plus, we were talking about our other puppet thing, you know, just kind of all tied in.
One time in college, somebody called me Miss Piggy. I guess because I wore a lot of pink and was larger than the average bear. And I paused for a moment and I thought to myself, wait, am I supposed to take that as an insult? And then someone online was like, "You should have been all like, hi-ya!"
Plus, Miss Piggy's a diva.
Yeah. Miss Piggy fucking rocks.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm all psyched about the... I mean, I love what Muppet Studios is doing. I love that, you know, there's this new movie that, you know, written and will be starred... written by and will star Jason Segel. The working title of the movie is The Greatest Muppet Movie Ever Made. And I'm just really psyched for it. It's going to come out, I think, next year. I think they start filming it this fall. In other Muppety-related things, recently the wonderful Moonbeam of Blasted Villain Moonbeam's Pod of Destiny gave me MP3s. I don't know where she got them from, but she managed to get MP3s of the two Muppet soundtrack albums that came out back in when the show was actually on the air. The first one, which I never owned, and the second one, which I did own.
I'm sure she got them completely legally.
Yes. So the other day I burned them onto a CD and I listened to the first... I never actually heard that full first soundtrack on its own before, you know, like completely beginning to end. So that was cool. And then I got to hear the second one, which I've listened to, you know, hundreds of times in my youth, and it kind of all came back to me. So for our second, you know, song break of the episode, since these Muppet tracks are all so short, I'm going to play three of them back-to-back, kind of mushed together. It's about 5 minutes. And the second one of them features the actress Bernadette Peters singing a song that was one of Jim's favorites. It was actually sung at his memorial service. You can see that on YouTube. And it's a song that's always meant a lot to me, you know, as a straight up, you know, emotional, you know, serious type of uplifting song. So, yeah, I just wanted to, you know, bring a little bit of, you know, real emotion into it.
Sometimes Luke is emotional.
Yes.
I'm just narrating here.
Okay. It's like we should have, like, you know, Devo Spice and Shoebox, like, standing off in the corner in a thing doing, like, Statler and Waldorf type of riffing on us as we talk about Jim Henson.
Hey, speaking of Statler and Waldorf, they were brought up when we were doing the staging for La Boheme. You remember the the two guys?
Yeah.
Shit, now I can't remember the name. Oh, fuck. Chouinard and... Colleen,
mm-hmm.
And that's how she was describing their characters, like they were like Statler and Waldorf during Act Two. Except cool. she didn't use their names. She was like those two guys in the Muppets that sit off to the side.
Yeah, it's.
then when I thought about it, I realized I couldn't remember their names either. So
somebody once commented on my I have the lyrics to Who Let the Frog Out up at my website. And, you know, for Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, I just I didn't put Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, I just put Bunsen as the person who's saying that line.
Yeah.
And, like, somebody tried to, like, some little kid, like, emailed me, he's like, you know, you have the word Bunsen there, but it's actually Dr. Honeydew, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I wrote this kid back, it's like... Bunsen is his first name. I watched that show when it was on the air the first time. Don't you dare fucking correct me on Muppet Show stuff. You know, so, yeah.
Anyways, so now that you've introduced the songs and it's
and now that you've said shit
minutes.
And fuck, let's introduce these songs by the Muppets.
Yay.
A silly song is silly song. You might be.
The words are weird, the rhyme is wrong.
You by the idea.
If you don't like it, that's okay.
Cause we will sing it anyway.
You by the idea, 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 you by the idea.
Things.
We're unemployed, so let's all sing.
Button left the room.
You by the idea.
The noise Milton fix me straight.
But we are fools, so what the hey?
You by the idea, 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 you by the idea.
A very special lady and a good friend is with us right now. Here she is with my little nephew, Robin, Miss Bernadette Peters.
You know, Bernadette,
No one around here ever pays any attention to me.
If just one person believes in you, deep enough and strong enough, believes in you, hard enough and long enough, before you knew it, someone else would think, if he can do it, I can do it.
Making it to all people who believe in you,
deep enough and strong enough, believe in you, hard enough and long enough, there's bound to be some other person who believes in making it a threesome, making it three.
People, you can say, believe in me.
And if three whole people, why not four?
And if four whole people, why not more? Stands to reason, hear yourself, we'll start to see what everybody sees in you.
And maybe even
you, and believe in you.
Okay, everyone, gather around for the big finale.
Oh, lovely. Then we can go to dinner.
All right, just sing, Piggy.
Life is a funny thing. Sometimes you laugh and sing.
Sometimes you grumble and cuss.
Knock it off!
But either way, what do we care?
We got us.
Unfortunately, have our ups and downs, our shares of smiles and frowns.
But through it all, we don't fuss.
Because we got a special thing going.
We got us.
Some people like to go through their life single. Oh, that wouldn't suit us at all.
Why sing a melody as a soliloquy when it's more fun to be
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spices at DevoSpice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess we're stupid to prove it innocent, cause it makes it so that needs to incriminate.
Police say three people have been charged with drunk driving in the same car in Alice Springs, Australia, over one night. Just after 4 a.m., police stopped the vehicle and say a 25-year-old man was arrested for drunk driving and a range of other driving offenses. Within 10 minutes, police stopped the same vehicle again and charged a 31-year-old woman after she was over the alcohol limit. Again, within a 10-minute period, police found the car back on the road and a 30-year-old man was charged with drunk driving and providing a false name. It turns out they were from a local college fraternity, and they were on their way to compete in a Chinese fire drill tournament.
Okay, here's the situation. A friend of yours is in prison. You want to break him out. What are you going to need? A knife? Maybe. A gun? Probably. A getaway vehicle? Most definitely. A full-body head-to-toe Snoopy costume? Well, of course.
For example, there's this story of two men who tried to break into a prison to free an inmate while one of them was dressed up as the cartoon character Snoopy, who are being held under the Mental Health Act. Prison wardens were baffled when they were confronted by the cartoon character trying to break down a staff door while apparently waving a gun. The man and an accomplice, who were attempting to free a relative from the British prison, went on to hurl concrete missiles at prison officers' cars. A prison source told The Sun, "It's not every day you see a giant cartoon dog go on the rampage after trying to break into a prison. They weren't exactly inconspicuous, but they were taken seriously because they appeared to have a gun. They caused a lot of commotion, and it was only later when they were found to be armed with a water pistol. It was learned after the pair were arrested that they had attempted to break into the wrong prison. Oh, good grief. They had staged the attempted jailbreak at the Isle of Wight Albany site, while the relative they were looking for was locked up in the nearby Cramp Hill unit. What a couple of cell blockheads! The source added, "This has got to rank as one of the worst attempted jailbreaks ever." A spokesman for the Hampshire Police said the two men, aged 43 and 21, were arrested on suspicion of criminal damage and held under the Mental Health Act after the incident on May 1st. It's not clear which of the two men was dressed as Snoopy. The reason why is quite simple. Their relative's bail was for a very low amount, and when they asked what it would take to free their relative, they were told they could do it for peanuts. Needless to say, the two men now find themselves in the doghouse facing prison time. When asked how many years their sentence would be, authorities replied, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, or more. Luke?
Thank you, my sweet babu.
I am not your sweet babu.
In Wausau, Wisconsin, the Marathon County Medical Examiner's Office reports that 33-year-old Matthew Fitzwater died of blunt force trauma to the head and neck after falling off of the top of a moving van that he was riding. Fitzwater and another person were attempting to move a box spring and mattress on top of the van on Wednesday afternoon when the ropes fastening them down came undone. Authorities say Fitzwater decided to sit on top of the mattresses to hold them down during the move instead. But he was blown off and hit his head on the pavement. Neither Angela Lansbury nor Little Nemo was available for comment.
What?
You know, Angela Lansbury, she was in Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
Okay, what does the fish Nemo have to do with it?
No, like Little Nemo in Slumberland? It was the comic strip about the little kid who would go on imaginary adventures. He had a walking bed. It was in the Hearst newspapers in the early 1900s.
God, you're old.
Shut up! They made a video game based on it for Nintendo in the 80s.
You are so old.
You want old? I'll show you old. Here. Here's an actual news story from the middle of the 19th century. On July the 10th, the year of our Lord, 1864, the Lockport Journal tells the following horrible story of a woman living in Mercer, the wife of Mr. William Evers. We will refer to this woman by her husband's last name, Evers, and not by her first name because, after all, she is a woman and therefore not important. In continuation, Evers has for 4 years past been afflicted with a singular difficulty in her stomach. Her complaint has until within a short time past baffled the skill of physicians. The complaint commenced about 4 years since with a tickling and uneasy sensation about the pit of her stomach. The same sensation has continued to increase in severity from that time. A few months since, it became the incontrovertible opinion of most skillful physicians that the increasing difficulty has been the growth of a snake in the stomach. It has grown so large now that it distends the stomach so as to produce a bunch upon the outside as large as a quart bowl. Upon pressing this bunch with the hand, the reptile recoils and produces great distress in the stomach. When fish or meat is being cooked in the room, if the snake is not satisfied with the food, it rises up in the throat, producing strangulation. When desiring food, it manifests by rising up in the throat. Physicians can see no way in which the snake can be removed without certain death to the woman. Mrs. Evers is about 35 years of age. She is, of course, feeble in health now, but is around the house, doing the cooking, the cleaning, and anything else her husband commands of her, lest she feel the backside of his hand, not to mention his snake occupying other vacant cavities in her lower torso region, should he perchance feel like engaging in a quick Bob's your uncle. All ribaldry aside, the humor of this predicament is quite obvious. That being, as her predecessor Eve was once fooled by a snake, and now Evers herself must pay the consequences by containing said beast in her intestinal tract in perpetuity. As it has been said many a time before by many members of government, the clergy, peace officers, and even many university, women are dumb. That is precisely why we do not let them vote. In conclusion, the general populace is uneducated, and once again their actions have shown this to be a statement of fact. This has been the weekly report of the activities of Dunderpates.
I did not know you're gonna read it that fucking slow. Oh my god.
What do you mean, read it? I was playing that on this Edison tube coil here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes.
So, are we doing this or this or that? Or what are we doing?
Do all three of them, because they're you.
Well, still, we have no new requests for Luke Song Origins for some reason. So, remember to request Luke Song Origins, because he has more interesting stories than I do. But since I'm still working down the list of Carrie Song Origin requests, I'll get to the next one, which is, what's wrong with this song? Well, my friend at work, Mary DiCasola, gave me a copy of a CD by a group from the 60s called Sweetwater. I'm pretty sure the CD was self-titled Sweetwater, but I'm not positive about that. She states they were the opening act at Woodstock. I'm not sure about that, because I never went and verified the information. But I believe they were at least performers at Woodstock in some way, shape, or form. And it's a really cool CD, and I had never heard it. I've never heard of them. I thought it was awesome. I still need to get a copy to my friend Gremlin. And she thought, she kind of had me in mind to parody a specific song off of there. Well, the song that she wanted me to parody isn't the one that I took to. I took to a song called a protest piece called What's Wrong? And they're like, what's wrong in our schools? And I really don't remember the rest of the lyrics, because it's one of those songs where like, I took to it as a potential parody piece as soon as I heard it, you know, therefore I don't know the original that well, because as soon as I heard it, I considered it a, you know, parody fodder. And it wasn't long until I came up with the idea to turn it around and make it a song about a song, which is one of my favorite types of comedy songs. And so I made it a song about a song that's about itself. And let's see, Jared Ringgold, maybe with some help from John Mapes, but I think it was 90 or 95% Jared Ringgold did the instrumental, which is an amazing instrumental. And even as amazing as it was, I was still like, no, this little detail isn't there. Okay, no, now you got to get this little detail in there. Okay, no, now this one. And then we got my dad in his basement to play a fiddle solo where the flute solo should be. And of course, I was harmonizing with myself on most of the vocals, even though the original is men and women. And then I was just gonna get Jared to do just this one quick part that's a man, and then I was gonna continue doing on with the rest. But then I was like, ooh, a man's voice, and then I made him like sing the whole third verse with me instead of it just being me by myself, which was added an element of awesome. And I don't really perform it that much anymore. It doesn't really go over that well live. But it was played on Dr. Demento at least once, maybe twice. I don't remember if it was once or twice, but, you know, it's still one of my favorites of my own songs.
And there was, like, two versions. One had a longer intro.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That was something else that I, you know, sort of struggled with Jared on, because I didn't make my wish for that to not be there clear, and then he went through a painstakingly large amount of effort to recreate that intro, and then I'm like, well, okay, now it's there. So I can't remember if I can't remember which version was on the Thump and my album, but yeah, there was one version with long intro and one without. And Jared Ringgold rocks, and you know, this was, you know, 3 years ago, and he's gotten even better since then. So
yes,
was it 3 years or four? 3 years. I don't have a good memory. I'm pretty sure it was 3 years ago, like three and a half, when we made that song.
So speaking of songs, you have another Josh song for us.
Yes, I do. This one requires an intro. We were driving to PangoCon, so once you start to approach Detroit, you start to see a lot of Ontario license plates. And I saw a Ontario vanity license plate that said Smile Pro. And I was like, hey, look, it says Smile Pro. What do you think that means? And Josh concluded that it meant the person was a dentist. And I'm like, ooh, that could be a song, Canadian Dentist. And he came up with a different song where he goes, Smile Pro, drills your teeth until the blood flows. See him laugh while you scream. He will make your teeth gleam. Oh, shit, here comes the Smile Pro. I added the one line. I helped him with one line on that. So it's not 100% a Josh song, but... So, and then I had another Josh song that I shared with Luke off the air because it could potentially get me murdered.
Yeah.
Like, literally. So
in a South Park 200th episode kind of way.
Yes.
So, we had a discussion about video stores.
Yes,
and
so...
I barely remember it.
Well, yeah, we were just kind of chatting on the phone... between the last episode and this one, and I don't remember why one of us brought up video stores, but you started to mention how you liked video stores.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, I am signed up for Netflix, so I get, you know, probably most of the video renting I do now is because of that, because it's, you know, it's so darn convenient, and there's no late fees.
And they have much bigger selection than any video store.
Yeah, but, you know, I've worked at a couple of video stores in my life. I worked at Movie Gallery, and I worked at Blockbuster. I mean, hell, I was damn near an assistant manager there. It was, you know, I like the aesthetic of going to the video store to look at, you know, the videos and DVDs or whatever's there. Like, you know, what's out this month? I like walking along the new release wall and, like, you know, seeing all the covers and, you know, trying to figure out what I want and, you know, looking at all the older ones. It's like, it's you know, I guess that's the, you know, 36-year-old old fogey in me, but I like doing that.
Yeah.
And I'll even go so far as to admit, but you probably can't see it. There's a bird in the tree, like, right there, like, right on the branch. There it is. Bird, pretty bird. There he goes. Nature.
You know, it's cool when I see red cardinals. That's a cool bird.
Yeah.
The bird we just saw was just like a robin or something.
But and there's that news article recently about how Game Crazy, Hollywood Video, and Movie Gallery are all going out of business, which basically leaves just Family Video and Blockbuster, as far as I can tell.
That reminds me of something, and this I saw after we had that discussion, uh-huh. But I was passing by a closed down Hollywood Video, and they had written all over the windows with, like, spray paint, and it was, like, closed forever, blah, blah, blah. And then on, like, one it said, I wasn't even supposed to be here today, Clerks. So apparently some nice. Ex-employee of the Hollywood Video on Ashland near Hollywood.
That is awesome.
Chicago.
That person wins.
Yeah.
But this is going to seem like such a uncool thing, considering I'm sitting here talking about, I like video stores, I don't want them to go out of business. I will go to video stores now. Like, for example, there's a Blockbuster just down the road, and I signed up for a video there, and I went in basically because there was a specific DVD I knew I wanted to rent immediately. I think it was one of the DC direct-to-video things they put out every, you know, once or twice a year. And I'm like, oh, that thing's out? I gotta go rent it. So I went to the video store and I grabbed that to rent, and then I walked along the whole new release wall making a mental list of all the movies I need in my Netflix queue. It's like,
that's awesome.
I could be renting those here, but no, I'm putting them on the Netflix queue because
I'm sure you're not the only person that does that.
I'm a hypocritical douchebag. That's why. So
I mean, but it's not only Netflix that's putting video stores out of business. It's also Redbox, which you know, I've never used a Redbox. I'm guessing you haven't either. But
actually, I have. I mean, like I said, Netflix is still the main way I do things, but the Redbox.
But I mean, like, Netflix is for, like, the geeky people, and, like, Redbox is for, like, you know, the lower class people. Well, that's kind of a generalization.
Well, for the online streaming thing, which is, you know, tons of different TV shows, and now that it's, you have it for the Wii now. So if I put this disc in my Wii, I can have the Netflix streaming go directly to my Wii and watch it in the other room on my main television.
Yeah,
that's kick-ass.
Netflix is pretty awesome. They've continued to hook me along, even though I literally only watch a Netflix DVD like once every 2 months. I almost canceled my account again, and then they were like, no, please, please, please stay with us. So now I'm doing a $5 a month thing where I get 2 DVDs a month for $5. I don't use them even that often.
Yeah, I signed up for Netflix when, I signed up for Netflix because I needed to get a episode of Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Like you know, season
that's
whatever.
Right.
Like,
I remember that.
Yeah, I needed that specific episode to get specific sound bites for a song that
One Night at Quark's Bar.
That ended up not getting released.
Oh, okay.
But maybe it will very soon.
Ooh.
But that was like 3 or 4 years ago when I was still living with Amy. It's like I signed up for Netflix for that very specific reason, and then I just stuck with it. And then when I started realizing, oh, I'm gonna watch the rest of Babylon 5, you know, that's when I started cranking on watching Babylon 5,
yeah,
and then cranking on watching Battlestar Galactica. So it's like, you know,
yeah, I use Netflix to watch like the whole first season of 24, and then after that, various people, I think mostly Tanya, like, lent me DVD box sets of 24, so I didn't really need Netflix for that anymore. But anyways, back to video stores. I don't actually have the fondest memories of, like, Blockbusters and shit, but when I was a kid, when I was 9 years old, which would make this 1987, my mom got a job at a video store, the first video store in the city of St. Paul, Minnesota. And since she was a single mom and I didn't have anyone else to watch me, I would most of the time go along with her on her during her shift. If I didn't go to my grandma's house, I went with my mom to the video store, where I would do any number of things. I would sit in the back and color on a coloring book or whatever, or I would like just wander around the store looking at everything. Or I would help behind the counter, which, you know, was not, like, you know, so, like, terribly illegal back then. I mean, I'm sure it was illegal, but, like, no one was, like, hunting us down to arrest my mom for letting me help. Or, you know, sometimes I was walking to nearby food places to get us some food. So I actually had really good memories of that, and it was kind of great as a 9-year-old to be able to rent things for free, unlimited. And I watched Beetlejuice that way probably 30 times, and Back to the Future, and, you know, I often just watched the same things over and over and over and over. But, you know, that was where I got a lot of my watching things in my life. And then one time they opened in the same building, in like a tiny little, not, you can't even call it a strip mall because it's only 2 or 3 stores, but in the same building, a toy store opened up later on. And so that was like the most exciting day of my life. Like when I realized, not from the outside, but from behind the scenes, from the inside, that a toy store was going up. And, you know, I just had so many vivid, like, fantasies about how awesome the toy store was going to be. And it ended up being kind of sparse, but I got a talking cat. My mom got me a talking cat from there. Percy. It was like a white Persian talking. Not talking. It was a meow, meow, meow. like this really horrible mechanical, like terrible audio meowing cat that meowed when you pet it. So what else were you gonna say? Like you're gonna chime in, and I prevented you.
The first video store that was in Lake Geneva. It was, I just remember like going there to rent things and like how super cool it was. And back then, it's like because it's like the it wasn't a chain. I don't remember what the name of it was. I want to say Goldmine, or no, I think it was called something else originally, and then it changed its name to Goldmine later on. But the thing was, it's like when they would get the new movies in, they would get like one copy of the movie on VHS. And just that whole idea of getting more than one copy of anything way back then, like, that never entered anybody's mind. So it was like, you know...
Yeah, I don't remember having...
So it was like, oh, Howard the Duck is coming out. We better get over there. We better call them up that morning so that we can have them hold on to it for us so that nobody else can rent the one copy of Howard the Duck they have so that I can watch it on my sleepover with Jason and my other friends, you know, on Friday night. You know, so it was like... But a like, big freaking deal.
You know, not only were, you know, not only was that the first video store in St. Paul, but I was like one of the first kids I know to have a VCR. I mean, don't ask me how this was considering how fucking poor we were, but we had one.
It's like, and my Aunt Colleen, because they owned the gas station and they had more money than our family, they had two VCRs, so they could actually rent things from the one video store in Lake Geneva and then dub copies of them. Mm-hmm. So that we could have copies of all these movies. And that was like, oh, we could actually own copies of these. And then about the same time we had cable, so we started taping movies out of HBO. So like all of our early tapes are like, you know, back before VCRs were had that built-in, you know, copy protection thing. So if you try to dub stuff, it looks all crappy if it's got like the, you know, so like that didn't exist back then. So the movies just looked like the movies were supposed to.
Right.
So it was cool.
Yep. All right, what's next?
Next is... we're going to play a song by MC Frontalot featuring Schaefer the Dark Lord and Beefy. And it's a great song, especially those of us who are involved with Mystery Spatula Theater 11, having to watch films like Mission to Mars and most especially the next film, The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, God.
This movie is called Disaster. this song is about disaster movies, and it's called Disaster.
Okay.
That's what I meant to say.
Okay.
So here's the song right now.
Up the mics, turn up the volume. Everybody present, say here when I call you. Schaefer?
Yep.
Beef?
Hello.
Bought three movie tickets, got the front row. Act one.
Our plucky hero's hometown. Middle Americana, not a problem to be found. A single dad of one son with a dog just trying his best to make ends meet as a disaster scientist. One day, he stumbles upon some horrifying evidence. Our hero decides I must inform the president.
Even though you seem to know exactly what you talk about, I don't think at this point in the plot I am gonna hear you out. But Washington's fallout can't return to my home. The slash floods, earthquakes, I pick up the red phone. You get this ragtag team made of washed up Marines and Dr. Jenny Marie. She studies weather extremes.
It's a disaster, it's a disaster. Whenever you got three nerd rappers, it's a disaster, it's a disaster. Whenever you got three nerd rappers, it's a disaster, it's a disaster. Whenever you got three nerd rappers, it's a disaster.
Act 2, molten lava is chasing them around. Big blue bolts of lightning spring up from underground. But our hero and his team have some hope for a cure.
If we can just get this crew into the center of the Earth, we can install a nuclear device and detonate it. My findings indicate that this will stave off devastation.
I might have given in to my pride that is my sin, but take this check and shake my hand, cause you can always trust the white skin.
Sir, you won't regret it. Launch your finest satellite, arm it with the laser cannon aimed upon the blast site to activate the nuke. But the clock is counting down. We need to act fast as our time is running out.
Meanwhile, hurricanes, tidal waves, floods, sun flares cause it to seem to rain blood.
The president just got crushed by an asteroid.
And the plucky hero's son,
run faster, boy!
It's a disaster, it's a disaster. Whenever you got three nerd rappers, it's a disaster, it's a disaster. Whenever you got three nerd rappers, it's a disaster, it's a disaster. Whenever you got three nerd rappers, it's a disaster.
Last act, son makes it, dog doesn't. Odds may be stacked against the team, they discuss it.
A last ditch effort hangs heavy on our hero's mind. Blowing up the planet is the only hope for humankind. And to his leading lady, there is something I must say.
Hey, you and me can wait, I wanna have another yesterday. Sources say the Kremlin could take us into orbit. Go to space, fix the lasers in the Earth, we can't.
Kittery's story.
That's it? A crazy plan, but we have to try. The time is nigh. Gather up supplies. We must survive.
They head out for Russia in a little rowboat. Get menaced by glaciers, almost bite it, but no. At the last moment, a decision to be made. There's the love of the boy. Only one can get saved.
If he thinks too long,
whole globe is in peril.
If you don't shed a tear at the end,
your heart's still.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster. Whenever you got three nerd rappers, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. Whenever you got three nerd rappers,
it's a disaster. It's a disaster.
Whenever you got three nerd rappers, it's a disaster.
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster.
Whenever you got
three nerd rappers, it's a disaster.
It's a disaster.
Whenever you got
three nerd rappers,
it's a disaster.
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster.
So what'd you guys think?
I think that was not a good movie.
Wrong. It ruled. My new all-time favorite movie ever.
How could you possibly
just
think that?
Awful.
It was a little effects heavy, but a very smart script. Well acted, plausible.
It was a preposterous
abysmal
film. It was asinine. It was other big words for bad.
I want my $14 back.
You didn't pay for the ticket.
I don't know why I saw it two times before this.
So, I go to the Frontalot show in DeKalb because Kiki talked me into it, and she gave me some gas money. I was originally not going to go, but and just go to the one in Madison. But anyway, so we get to the DeKalb show. The last time I was at that venue was when it was Frontalot, Whitey Cracker, MC Lars, you know, former Fat Boys, Hormones, Dual Core, me, and somebody else was there too, I think. But, you know, I got to be one of the opening acts. But, you know, this time I was not. It was just MC Frontalot, Hormones, former Fat Boys, and this group called Egon's Unicat. There was this punk group of like majorly energetic, but I wasn't able to get on the bill. I had emailed Frontalot asking about it, and he didn't get back to me, so I don't know if the email got lost or if he just whatever, you know.
Yeah.
There were already four acts on the bill, and they didn't want it to turn it into a circus like it did last time, probably. So one, it was just kind of nice because, you know, somebody recognized me like, hey, didn't you perform last time? Like, yeah. And it's like, oh, that's cool. How come you're not performing this time? And it's like, well, I probably contacted them too late or something, you know. And he's like, oh, man, it'd be great to have you up there. And it's like, oh, well, just, you know, let the guys know next time around. You know, they're going to come and be like, hey, I have Lou Skibby, you know. So,
yeah.
So it was just nice to be acknowledged by some people. But this one was even better. I'm there with Kiki. This dude comes up to me. And he looks vaguely familiar, but he looks at me and he goes like, hey, you're Insane Ian! And I was like, well, close. And like, he immediately got really embarrassed and, you know, realized that I'm Lukeski and not Insane Ian. And
yeah.
I kind of got distracted and like went away for a minute and Kiki stayed and talked to him. And then it turned out that he was one of the guys that helped run Nerdapalooza.
Oh.
So it's like, I'm like, it didn't bug me. I thought it was funny. In fact, I tweeted about it right away, and then I went back and I kidded with him about it later. But to me, it's kind of like, well, it's good to know the folk that, you know, Insane Ian has good name recognition with the folks at Nerdapalooza, you know, so that, you know. And then when I tweeted, Ian responded back with, wow, I wish MC Frontalot would come to my neighborhood and do a show so that people could confuse me for you. So, yeah, so that's that. It's time for What's Luke Plugging Now?
What's Luke Plugging Now?
Yeah.
What's at the fump? What's at the fump?
I'm home for air. Let's go to the Funk and find out, because besides Married Life by Insane Ian, which is on the sideshow, you can download that for free right now. Brand new, just posted at the Funk today, is a new sketch by Cirque du Soleil, on the album.
I haven't even heard it yet.
Yes, it is called Deathworks SKG, so you can download that right now. Cirque du Soleil, new freshness. This coming Friday, something by a guy who likes cheese from Wisconsin.
Someone who is blonde. Someone who has a red hair.
Featuring music by Jaron Ringgold and vocals by Gary Dolby. Why are we smoking so high? I don't know.
I don't fucking know. Fuck you.
Hungry. Oh, yeah. So, also at the Fump, the song What? By TV's Kyle. Sexy DVD by Lemon Demon. Rent Boy by Robert London Spaff.
Oh, is that what that was called?
What did you think it was called?
I heard the song, and I know what the title means, but I didn't connect the two at the time. Yay.
Yeah, so Brown Booger by Steve Goody. Raichu, a song by Nuclear Bubble Wrap. The Ballad of Dr. Stop, which we played in the last episode, which is awesome, by Worm Quartet. And Flight Check by Devo Spice featuring Insane Ian. All those download for free on the main page of the Funk. Get them now. They're awesome.
Get them while they're free.
Cirque So What. We have an album. It's called Procrastinators of the Apocalypse. You can get it at CirqueSoWhat.net or BaconNipples.com. Get it, goddamn you. tour dates. This weekend I'm going to be at KeyCon along with the rest of Cirque du So What, which is Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, and Power Salad. There's going to be an epic 14-hour car journey with me and Chris Mazzalesta.
To get to Winnipeg.
To get to Winnipeg and back. So it's actually 28 hours in a car with Chris Mazzalesta.
Will they kill each other or won't they? Or stay tuned and find out.
Or will we just say the word tile repeatedly the whole time?
Hypericon,
which is in Nashville, which I've heard the hotel is back open again. So I hope that.
And that's the first weekend of June, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same weekend as Woodstock, which I will be attending.
First weekend in June that isn't having anything to do with. Okay, never mind. First weekend in June.
So, yeah, Hypericon, Nashville, Nerdapalooza.
Yes.
Which is July 16th and 17th in Orlando, Florida. Also featuring Insane Ian, Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, Positive Attitude, MC Frontalot, Schaefer the Dark Lord, lots of other awesome people. So check out Nerdapalooza at their website, which is, I believe, nerdapalooza.org. And then Gen Con India. I'm now hereby officially booked to perform at Gen Con Indie this year. So that means I have to get a new album finished by the beginning of August, which means I have about 14 songs to do over the next 2 months. Yay! Fun! Weight Watch. Hey, Carrie, bust it for us.
So I'm just going to come out and come out with the honesty here. I have not lost any weight in the last 4 months. I've been on what would be called a plateau if I was sticking to my points and not losing. But I'm not sticking to my points, so I'm maintaining the weight loss that I've had. I mean, if you're on Weight Watchers e-tools, they give you a graph. It's really cool. You can look at your progress using the nifty graph, and it quite clearly shows a decline for 4 months and, you know, a steady for 4 months up and down a 3-pound range, and that's where I'm at right now. So I've been, you know, it takes a lot of work even just to do that. So I haven't left Weight Watchers, but I've been maintaining, and we'll see if I can drop a few more at some point after my trip. My trip being starting this Saturday, we're going to Arizona, me and my husband, to visit my mother-in-law and other friends in Arizona. And then on the following Wednesday, we'll be heading to Oahu, Hawaii for our makeup honeymoon part 2. And we'll be there for 5 days. So, and no, we're not staying in Honolulu or Waikiki. We're staying in a more remote area of the island somewhat. So, but that'll be more fun to talk about after the fact than it is now. So that's what's up with that. You're going to ask me what shade of pink I'm wearing, aren't you?
Well, I was going to, but not anymore.
I'm like all bundled up because Luke and Sarah's house is like 55 degrees. I have my coat zipped up completely, and that's on top of a fleecy thing that's zipped up completely.
When I was a kid, my dad told me never to touch the thermostat, and I never do. I'm just afraid that if I touch it, he's just going to, like, suddenly appear as a ghost. Don't touch the thermostat!
Well, the shirt I'm wearing was specifically for a theme thing at the, at work today. They wanted everyone to wear their favorite, sports attire, so people showed up in Bears and Cubs shirts and the occasional White Sox shirt and not much else. And I showed up in a nice blue-based pink shirt with red trim that says in a nice bannery way, what does it say?
Go local sports team and or college.
Yes. I got it from one of those cool t-shirt places. Like the, yeah, I can't remember the names, but a pretty awesome t-shirt there. So, ignorance stories.
Okay, so this woman comes up to me at my stand, and it was a night when there were like, it was like tons of Girl Scouts staying at Key Lime Cove. So she's like, you know, do you offer discounts if you get a lot of people drawing? And I said, not for the black and white ones, no. She's like, what about for the color ones? And I'm looking, okay, the color head and shoulders with the name is $15 a person. With the body and background, it's $20 a person. So I'm looking at that thinking, well, I could maybe offer her the $15 one for $10, mm-hmm. you know, because it had been pretty slow that night so far.
Yeah.
So I said to, and, you know, so I said to her, well, I could do this for $10 a person for the color heads, and she's like, well, you know, that would be $90. I only have $70 in my budget. You know, and you know, like, well, I guess I could go to an ATM and pay for the other $20 myself, or blah blah blah. And I'm just like, all right, I'll do the nine girls for the $70.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, okay, thank you, you're so nice, blah blah blah. And then she goes away to do some, you know, to gather the kids and figure everything out. So then she comes back, and you know, as she's getting the girls ready to sit down and be drawn, a couple other people had come up, and I had drawn them in color with bodies and backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they paid full price.
Yeah.
So as I'm drawing that, and she's setting up the other girls, Girl Scouts who are with her troop, she's like, now you all need to be thinking what kind of body and background you want to have in each of your drawings. And it was like, oh, God,
you
damn
can't
it,
be
all
serious.
The hell. You know, so...
So you were thinking nine girls in one picture.
No, I was thinking nine individual drawings, but just doing... The, you know, the, head and shoulder with the name.
Right.
You know, which back in the day I used to charge just $10 for them. So it's like, all right, whatever. I'm down to like $8 a picture.
Yeah.
And but thus far that night it had been really slow. And the fact that these two people showed up wanting two people with color and a body and background, it's like, why didn't they show up much earlier in the day? But they, it was just a weird case of timing. So yeah. So I hear, and then I finally, like, after those two go away, I say to them, like, look, I was talking about just the color heads, you know, with this, after she had already
got... Not the full body,
yeah.
Just the head and shoulders.
And she kind of, like, seemed, like, disappointed by that, and I'm like, oh, God. You know, and I do want, you know, the people to be happy with me.
Yeah.
So I said to her, okay, how about this? Instead of doing the bubble letter card in, I'll write it in a different way, smaller, so that that takes a big chunk of time out of doing each one of these. And I won't do a background, but I can insert some kind of element, like, give them, like, a simple body and, you know, make it doing something, but there wouldn't be, like, a real background to it.
Yeah.
So that way it's a bit more personalized.
So you're trying to compromise.
Yeah, I'm trying to compromise.
And then she's
like, okay, yeah, that's great. You know, we'll do it. So I start doing it. And I think the very first girl was one of her daughters. And she's like, we have two dogs. Can you put her with our two dogs in there? Which is like, okay, I guess so. You know, so now she has to describe what these dogs like. Thank God one of them was an Eskimo, like my sister's dog, Yukon. So
yeah.
It's like, all right, I know what Yukon looks like. So now I'm like, she's describing dogs to me. The next girl was like some other girl from the troop, and she wanted to be softball, fine. The third girl was her other daughter, and apparently there's other pets in their household. So now...
They have a whole menagerie.
So basically, it turned into everyone else in that troop figuring out what pet of theirs do they want to be drawn with. So now they have to, not only do I have to draw them, you know, with a body, I need to draw pets that there are no pictures for that they're just describing to me.
God.
Remember, I'm only getting $8 a picture for these fucking things. And, you know, it's like...
Oh my God.
It was one girl came up, and I know, it's like, she's like, you know, yeah, I want you to draw me with a skunk. It's like, fuck you. You don't have a pet skunk. You just didn't want to, you know, be left
the only
out
one
of,
without an
yeah,
animal.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, ah. Somebody else did softball, too. Oh, and during the middle of all this, she comes up, oh, it's not actually nine people. It's actually 12.
What? And then she wanted...
and then later on, she's like, I was wrong. It's actually nine. And then by the end, it was 10.
Okay. And you got $70.
Actually, she scraped some money together. I think she paid me at least $90, possibly $100. So it's
okay.
Like, all right, fine. You know, so that was just kind of like, you know, Night of the Living friggin', you know, Girl Scouts. I didn't even get any Thin Mints out of it, goddammit. Oh, I gotta find the notes because this is a specific spelling name thing.
Can you pause it real quick?
Sure.
Pausing.
We're
unpause,
back.
Yes. So, do you remember the movie The Muppets Take Manhattan?
Yes.
There's a scene where Kermit the Frog has lost his memory and he, like, stumbles into an advertising firm and they ask him what his name is and he looks behind the wall and there's a gas station picture ad. It says, fill her up. And it's like, oh, Phil! Fill up! Fill up, Phil! That's my name.
Yeah.
I drew a guy whose name was Philip, spelled F-I-L-L-U-P.
Oh my god.
I was like, OMG. And then he had a kid, a girl, who's named Journey. J-U-R-N-E-E.
Oh my god.
What the...
So a guy growing up with a name as stupid as Phil Up couldn't have it in his heart to, you know, either name a good name or veto a bad name.
I mean, like, I could get behind naming a girl Journey, like, you know, if, you know, just because, like, ugh. You know, if you're going to pick some, you know, some word, like, Journey, it's mystical, it's, in, you know, intriguing. Like, Journey, J-U-R-N-E-E, we're going to journey down to the Walmart and getting me some Lynyrd Skynyrd mud flaps. Anyway.
That's pretty horrifying.
There was a kid who wanted me to be...
I wish I could talk about some of the horrible patient names I've seen at my work, but I would get so fired.
There was a kid who wanted me to draw in, like, full color with a body and background, and I kept trying to... It's like 20 questions to get him to figure out, like, what do you want to be doing? And, you know, and it's like, you know, and he was, like, saying a bunch of stuff that was confusing me, and then he finally just came out and said, like, look, I just want to be drawn with this t-shirt on. And the t-shirt, It had a picture of a sofa on it, so it says, you know, first word, you know, sofa, second word, king, third word, cool. Sofa, king, cool.
Sofa, king, cool.
So...
I don't get it.
So fucking cool.
Oh, okay.
Sofa, king, cool.
Okay.
So it's like, I'm wearing a t-shirt that basically
says... swear word in it.
Yeah, at Key Lime Cove, and... You know, my family apparently is, you know, too ignorant or hasn't figured it out or doesn't care or whatever. So I want to be drawn in a caricature wearing this shirt. So I'm paying $20 for a full color, full body caricature just so I can be seen in artwork wearing the shirt that says Sofa King Cool.
So you did it.
Yeah, and I did it. And it just kind of seems like... Wow, you're really taking credit for somebody else's joke. It's not even like he thought of that.
Right.
He's like, oh, look at the shirt I'll buy, you know. Well, I want to be immortalized wearing this shirt.
I mean, think of how many millions and millions and millions of people there are in this country that are just boring and plain, and there's nothing interesting about them. So they have to invent things to make themselves feel interesting, and that was his thing.
You mean like our podcast?
Ah! True that.
I'm going hungry.
I'm extremely self-absorbed, though. I mean, to the point of ridiculousness. I'm like, can't these people understand I'm the most important person in the world?
Exactly. Hey, what's that thing that goes at the end of the show?
Comments.
Yeah, all right, let's get to that so that we can wrap this motherfucker up. Insane Ian says, for Arkell's phone comment, the Captain America movie from 91 wasn't by Roger Corman, and it was released direct-to-video. And Ned Beatty is in it. It has a I has a Chinese DVD boot of it. The Doom Generation is one of the first films Rose McGowan was in, if memory serves. The version that was released on tape DVD is supposedly severely edited down, and an unrated version is supposedly better, but no one has seen it. Well, intentionally, that is. On other topics, back when I started doing improv and stand-up, I accidentally stole a joke or two. It was similar. It was a similar Robin Williams thing. I heard it, my sponge-like mind retained it, and I'd utter it during a show. I got busted for it during my improv days and became more aware of it and have since cured myself of it. That said, the dude who steals from Patton must be stopped. He doesn't just steal, he steals verbatim. That's ricoculous.
Yes, he got that word from Adam Carolla.
I believe the folks on stage with Al Cav were his brothers. The Lukeski website bits were so great. I forget how you managed to get those $2 back from me. I'm happy to have directed the Devo Spy / Lukeski music video. Yay, another song by me coming up. I like it when you plug my stuff, clearly. Thanks. That's all I had a comment on. This should make this fun to read on the next show. So just for that, www.insanian.com. Ha! Comedy! So thank you, Ian.
Comedy gold. Arkel says...
comedy jokes!
Arkel says, Ian, yes, it was her first big screen role, if I recall correctly. I'm glad it wasn't the first thing I'd seen her in. As per your comment about joke stealing, Robin Williams talks about the subject himself on a recent episode of Mark Maron's WTF podcast, episode number 67 to be exact. He basically says that accidental lifting is inevitable. If you don't listen to WTF, you should. I'm still scrimping and saving to get a Nerdcock t-shirt. It's the new paradigm, winky face.
All right. Blasted Bill says, by the way, I forgot to mention this during our talk of the video.
Are you going to say what I think you're going
to
say?
Yeah. Blasted Bill's reaction to the ending was priceless. Because yes. Bill, later on after we showed it, Bill was just like, what?
Why did you have me vomiting?
I was just a bad... And then I vomited. Just, why did you do that? It was like he was traumatized by it. He didn't understand.
And it's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Anyways, Blasted Bill says,
so I didn't comment on episode 13. I felt my name was being mentioned way too much, and I thought I would let others get in their two cents. Then I get mentioned 4 times on episode 14. Oh well, but I do want to comment about the ribbons at cons. I too find them annoying. I think it's an awesome idea, but they get so long on the badge and get in my way. So I'm totally down with the I don't collect ribbons ribbon idea. I watched Ray TV at LukeskiCon. By the way, editor's note, LukeskiCon 98 was a party I had at my place in Kansas City over Memorial Day weekend. It wasn't really a con, but I kind of put a lot of effort into organizing it and kind of pitched it to people in my fans, being like, hey, if you want to come hang out with me and have a fun party weekend, come out to my place. So.
And now that you have the perfect place to have a new LukeskiCon, you're not allowed to have one.
Yeah. I'm still pushing for Fump Stock in the backyard. Anyway, Bill's it. Yeah, I watched Ray TV at LukeskiCon. Dude, I loved Manimal. Talking about that one show we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm off to get me a double down, which I didn't hear about until listening to your show. Bill, where have you been, man? The double down, man! All right.
Ooh, I get a long one. Metamia says, all right, I have taken to being like Bill and taking notes. Max DeGroot has really grown on me as one of my favorite artists, especially of those who have come out in the last couple of years. I sometimes wonder if he thinks I'm stalking him, which I'm not. Don't tell him I've been staking out his joint. I was able to catch Carrie's performance online at 7 a.m. here in California on Sunday morning. I was so happy that Dr. Don figured out his Ustream / iPhone. I can see why everyone loves Carrie, because she is quite the live performer. Her love of it all just shines through her performance. Aw. Yeah, it was a great performance. I think it was just the love feedback loop from the audience. It was just intense. And then Metamia goes on to say, as for those monkey puppets, I still have like 5 of those hanging around my house. I got most of them from garage sales, but one of them was a special gift from a lady who was terminally sick and wanted to make sure her favorite puppet had a good home and would get good use in working with kids. I wasn't really impressed with the puppet, but he does have a special place in my collection. I do think that Luke is remembering a lot of local television shows that didn't play out of the area, not like Manimal. A couple of those local-only TV shows I remember are Whitney and the Robot and Bat's Cat. They were on at 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings on the local NBC affiliate. No one I have ever talked to remembers those shows, probably because no one was crazy enough to wake up at 6 a.m. for Saturday morning cartoons, except for me. I really wanted a Double Down for lunch, but I brought a sandwich to work today. Maybe tomorrow.
All right. Byron Lee says, since we're talking about long-forgotten cartoons from the 80s, I would like to bring up the Mr. Potato Head cartoon. Anyone remember that? I do remember it, but I didn't watch it. I also remember a lot of cereal that was based on video games, movies, and cartoons such as the Super Mario Brothers cereal. How about other things like the Ghostbusters Slimer Hi-C fruit drink? Boy, they sure got into building a movie or cartoon into some other piece of crap product so kids will buy it. And then Ark will follow that up by saying, dude, I remember the Slimer drink. That must have been around when I was in first grade, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I vaguely remember its existence.
No, there's one more. There's more. I know there's more.
Did you check iTunes?
I did check iTunes. There was nothing new since the last time we did iTunes.
I'm sad. Oh, no iTunes reviews. You guys don't love me after all.
No more iTunes reviews.
Okay. All right. I'm better.
I was in my mom's attic sometime in the past year looking for something old of mine, and I found a box I had saved from the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure cereal, based with the imagery being from the cartoon series they had made from it. So I think that's still up in my mom's attic.
Here, you read the next one, and I'll read Ken's.
All right.
Because Ken is my BFF.
Okay. Sean says, the Rubik's Cube cartoon deserved its own special level of hell, along with most of the 80s cartoons that were based upon the first generation of video games, like Pac-Man, Dragon's Lair, and Saturday Supercade. I've got lots of fond memories of other cartoons, but they just didn't hold up. It was just too much to stretch a simple video game into a full story. Dragon's Lair had a full story.
I don't know, I didn't watch any of this
show. Well, at least Dragon's Lair had like, hey, I'm a cartoon character and a princess and I'm going to go rescue her.
I was too busy watching Back to the Future 100 times in a row.
The Double Down has got to be a dream meal for anyone on a low-carb slash Atkins diet. It sounds like it's got a cult following like the Krusty Burger Rib Witch. Sadly, it's not available in Canada yet, so obtaining one at KeyCon may be culinary MacGyvering or a little KFC bootlegging, north of 49 style.
If you really wanted to be Atkins style, I think you'd have to get the grilled version instead of the tasty, tasty breaded version.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to see because Chris and I will be in Fargo, North Dakota Thursday night, departing Friday morning. If I see a KFC, maybe I'll grab one and try to preserve it. Carrie NDER, I'm so glad you're okay. The podcast was the first I'd heard of it. The ER is a lousy place to have to spend a weekend, regardless of what you originally had planned.
I really fucking hate the ER, I'll be honest to you. Ken says, to continue the thought I had during the video episode, when the National Scrabble Association was formed in the 1970s, one of the first things they did was to create their own dictionary, as arguments would occur since some words were in one dictionary but not in another. Allowing proper nouns would create the same problem since people could be playing proper nouns others might not know. I remember some of the unique names at Luke's caricature stand and could imagine an argument over one of them being played. Over 30 years ago, I talked my sister into playing a game with which proper nouns would be allowed. It did not feel right playing Trix, T-R-I-X, even though I scored 57 points with it. P.S. I won't begin to discuss why playing the word Pepsi would most of the time be a bad strategic move in the game. Probably not worth a lot of points.
I wonder which is worth more points, Pepsi or Coke?
Probably Pepsi.
All right, we have a couple of phone messages from Draconis. I gotta change the settings here, or at least double check to make sure the settings
are... Oh, you mean those weren't already changed?
Okay, yeah, they are the way they're supposed to be. All right.
Were they this way the whole time?
Yeah, we've been recording, okay. Yeah.
I know, but I'm like...
I've been doing some recording recently, and I couldn't remember where I last left them. I knew that our voices were being recorded because I could see it on the screen, but I forgot if the stereo thingy was checked or unchecked, but...
That makes me sad.
Well, no, the way it is the way... You want it to be to sound better.
Oh, it is?
So, yes, things are thumbs up.
Okay.
I just forgot to check before the show started. Anyway, a couple of short messages from Draconis, so here they are.
Hey, Luke and Perry. Great show, as usual. Luke, two-part question. Other than the original Transformers, which of the other animated or CGA series did you like, and have you ever gone to BotCon or ever planned to it to... your Ballad of Optimus Prime song. Have some good shows later.
Wow, good job, Google Voice.
Well, do you want to read the Google Voice?
I can barely see it from here.
Oh, do you want me to read it?
Sure.
Hey, Luke, Carrie, great show as usual. Luke, two-part question. Gotten the original Transformers, which is other animated were huge, a series that you liked it and he ever called into what telling or ever planned to it see it. Your Alan Virginia with Prime Phone have some good sellers later. So
nice job.
I watched the original series right up until they started doing all that headmaster stuff. And I think I kind of started to, you know, lose interest both in the toys and in the series at that point, just because I kind of felt like it was getting a little too ridiculous. I never watched Beast Wars. I think I've only seen like a little bit of it here and there. There was just something about it that to me seemed like it didn't make enough sense. Like the Dinobots were like robot dinosaurs. You know, which was kind of cool, but, like, the notion of, like, robots trying to hide... Like, robots trying to hide as mechanical vehicles, because robots and vehicles are both mechanical, but robots trying to hide as animals in nature, to me, just kind of seemed like... Like, I don't know, that didn't make enough sense to me for want to start watching that
and
series.
Little-known fact, even though I'm considered kind of girly... when I was a kid, I had a big tomboy face, so I really loved the original Transformers and Voltron, but I've never seen any of these various incarnations.
However, the Transformers animated series that started on Cartoon Network a couple of years ago, I totally love that series, because they basically were taking... I mean, there were other series like Transformers Energon, I never watched that. You know, they were kind of like taking the entire Transformers... you know, all of the different universes, the different incarnations, and basically saying, okay, we're going to do this our way, the people who made the Teen Titans cartoon. You know, and I really liked what they did with it. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was the best Transformers cartoon since the original cartoon. And I don't know why they ended it after, you know, whatever that was, 3 seasons. It's like, they should have kept it going. I really liked it.
This has nothing to do with that, but I got an update from Ken Madman Sherlock. His daughter's softball team won 17-4.
Woo, awesome. Way to go.
Sweet.
But one of the things, besides the fact that Weird Al did a guest voice on that series as Wreck-Gar, which was brilliant, Tom Kenny, who is the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, was the voice of Starscream, and he basically did his best, you know... I forgot the name of the actor who was the original voice of Starscream. He passed away many, many years ago. But he basically tried to do Starscream as his impression of the original Starscream to make it as much like the original show and character as he could, and he just kicked ass at it. He was so awesome. So yeah. Anyway, and as far as BotCon goes, I'd like to perform at it, but like I said before, it's like I can't really go to cons and perform unless, you know, it's like...
Hey, Luke, monies.
Yeah, it's...
Hey, Luke, monies. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain cons that I go to regularly, and, you know, they don't cover expenses, but I have established fan bases there, so I know that the money I make there will, you know, make up for it. You know, it's kind of a different story for every con, but overall, for new cons I've never been to, if they were interested in having me perform there... and they're willing to cover my expenses to get me out there, you know, I gladly perform there. So I'd love to go to BotCon. All right, here's the other message from Draconis.
Hey, Luke and Carrie, this is Draconis. Just got done listening to the 14. Great episode. There was actually 2 Scooby-Doo shows with that little Mexican kid. The first one actually had with him Vincent Price as a sorcerer, where they were hunting down 13 evil ghosts. It was Shaggy, Scooby, Scrappy, and the little Mexican kid, as well as 3 ghosts that acted like 3 Stooges. You're thinking of the second series after that. Also, let's see if you remember the B-movie cartoons. Toxic Avenger. What the heck was the other one? Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. And later on, probably past your time, Roughneck Starship Troopers Chronicles, as well as Men in Black. Have some great shows. Later.
I did watch the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes cartoon. I thought that was pretty well. The second season of that show got interesting because, first of all, they went from being like a regularly type of animated cartoon that you'd see to attempting to do the show animated on computer, not like in a CGI way, but in like a, you know, like it was like kind of some kind of experimental, like hand-drawn animation done with computer. I'm guessing it was kind of a budget thing they were experimenting with. But the other interesting aspect about that show was that it, of course, you know, the first season was all like, oh, the tomatoes are the bad guys, the humans are the good guys, you know, the mad scientist reprising his role, and, the good guys always win at the end of every episode. In the second season, the first episode of the second season, they actually had the tomatoes take over the world, so that the second season was all about the humans trying to win the world back from the tomatoes. So there was some pretty good, funny episodes that came out of that.
I vaguely remember the Scooby-Doo and the 13 Ghosts.
Yeah, the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, yeah.
Like, now that he mentions that, I have a vague memory of it.
Yeah. And I did watch the Men in Black cartoon. And Men in Black, if you think Men in Black is a B-movie, I mean...
Men in Black is pretty cool. I mean, at least the first one was pretty damn awesome.
You know, the Will Smith has signed on, there's going to be a third Men in Black movie in 3D.
Wow.
So
I mean, I've repeatedly watched the first Men in Black movie. It's not a perfect film, but, you know, it's pretty cool.
I think Will Smith is awesome. So, yeah. Was that it? That was our second thing, and so we read all the comments, and so I guess that means the show's over.
Time for outro, and we can get in under the 2-hour mark again. Yay! I was hoping to be much shorter, but I need to get another host if I want that, I think.
Well, maybe sometime I'll be too busy to do an episode, and you can do one by yourself with, like, Ken guest hosting, and...
Oh, yes. I'm sure that something like that will definitely happen. Shuffling through some papers, looking for a thing.
Stuck it over here for some reason.
He doesn't want to be narrated.
So we need to remind people to make comments, Carrie.
And please, iTunes reviews. Come on. You don't have to be a regular iTunes user to leave us a nice iTunes review. And remember, we do have a Bad Report Twitter account that no one's added at for like 3 weeks. And
but the overall thing is, if you want to leave comments for this episode, you can do that at the webpage, badreport.com, BADREPPORT.
Or call and leave voice comments at the
916 Lukeski. Yes,
or
dial
9 or the numbers, which are conveniently available on Luke's screen. And numbers are...
If it opens the way it's supposed to, which it isn't.
The numbers are being edited in post-production. That's okay.
There it is. 916-585-3754. So, okay. 916-Lukeski or 916-585-3754. So, you can leave voice messages there. You can leave comments at badreport.com.
And remember to request a Lukeski song origins.
Yes.
Okay.
And, other things that we were going to say, and I can't remember what they were.
All right.
So, going out, we're going to have one more song. As I said, going into the Nerdcore shows this weekend, got to see the former Fat Boys were from the Chicago area. They have an awesome song about dinosaurs called I'm a Dinosaurus. So I wanted to play that. They have an awesome music video that spoofs Jurassic Park and Back to the Future at the same time. And it's going to be on YouTube sometime in the near future. So,
cool.
But for now, you can hear the awesome song.
I'm in favor of the comedy music video.
Yes. So until next time, I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And this has been Luke and Carrie's...
Bad Rapport.
Word.
We did that without even rehearsing.
Pete, you ready, buddy? Fuck Homo sapien rappers. And all the ladies that have discovered my bones. I love you.
Gonna make some prehistory here.
Hardcore, rocking the instrumental. Dinosaurs 2005, baby. This is the remix. The former Fat Boys. Right here, baby. Shake your tail. No. Ain't got feathers. Shake your tail, baby. Fuck the tail feather. Remix, remix. Time travel.
You hear that? Feet from 30 miles away.
30 motherfucking
fucking miles away, bitches.
Little primordial who's
fossils.
Northern Cone GI Joe.
Here I come, future. 401k, retirement fund.
Come on. Reptiles. Or are we birds? Or are we both? Reptile birds. I ain't the typical dino you meet on the street. Yo, I'm a scientist, Donald. That's why I'm still on my feet. I'm 69 million years old. I only look three. I'm here now thanks to my time machine. I got a lab coat and glasses, even got my degree. My master's in chemistry from the first university. And I'm here to do work in the pharmaceutical industry. But theme parks, the only ones with interest, it seems. I'm civilized, I'm cool. Ignore my instincts. Usually used to eat meat. Now I'm strictly herbs and veggies. I'm afraid of the public. They judge me because I'm green. At the grocery, at the movies, I walk in people's streams. Because I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. Because I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. Understands my plight, especially my ex-wife. Don't tell the judge I killed her, not some meteorite. She was always bitching like,
you want some dinner tonight?
I married a raptor, now I got in a pot of soul for a wife. She was slow on my work, frankly not helping my game. Like Homo sapiens, only using 10% of her brain. I had a 100%. Back to science brought me fame. Had all the dinos on Pangea fucking screaming my name. Had my research double checked, but it was dismissed as lame. The time it came, there was only one dino to save. I was Clark Kent and Jor-El, one and the same. Ever since I traveled time in my time machine train. Hey, it's also a plane. Give me 1 second to explain. You 0 to 1990 faster than PhDs drop my name. So I was off to America, land of the free. Picked the wrong year in the wrong economy. So I hopped in my machine, it was low on gas. Check my wallet fucking empty, had to find some cash. All the meantime though, I just let people stare as I walk through the streets of my new home of Bel Air. Cause I'm a dinosaurus, roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaurus, roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. Cause I'm a dinosaurus, roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaurus, roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. I apply and apply, but never seem to get jobs. And viewers think I'm a joke set by monster.com. So I got suicidal loaded, headed the corner all lonely. Eminem walked by, said, hey, you dinosaur, blow me. I spit back, hey, you're fucking full of baloney. He was, I can smell it through his skin. I was hungry, through his tummy, yummy. I was hungry for him. He turned around, shouted, let this mixtape war begin. So I hit the studio with Snoop, recorded my first diss. The hip hop and rapper slash dinosaur scientist. The album hit big, but the source awards ignored us. How the fuck you ignore a rapping dinosaur? So I married Beyonce, she wasn't my type. Every scientist rapper needs a couple ex-wives. As I look to the future, who knows what's in store? So my time machine train is for my habit of whores. Whatever the case, there'll never be one more of us. Like Denver, I'm the last real motherfucking dinosaur. Cause I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. Motherfuckers, I'm a dinosaur. Cause I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. All you hoes, I'm a dinosaur. Cause I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaurus. Roar, roar, hey. Everybody, I'm a dinosaur. My homies back in the JT and the C. Think about you every time that it's turn the key. I'm a hummer, it's a bummer, now you're fuel to me. Maybe I'll come back, baby, after bankruptcy. We'll chill out the lagoon, sip a little dino wine. Couple old friends reunited in the land over time. Till then, yo, this is where I'll be. Now 210's the only zip code for Pete. Yes, my name's Pete, I'm a dinosaur. How much tea this song possibly go on for? That's it, I'm done, no more. Hey, Corey, this sucks. Corey, turn off the fucking music.